time for a Sales Manager Spotlight, brought to you by Death Wish Coffee, the world's strongest coffee. And we're going to be talking to some of the world's strongest and smartest sales managers.
What they like, what they fear, how they hire. Doesn't matter if you're a manager, doesn't matter if you're a salesperson, it doesn't even matter if you're just a person. You're going to learn something from these top leaders from around the country.
And with that, it's time to get this week's Sales Manager Spotlight. Let's go to the boss's office. I promise, this time, it won't be scary.
On the line now is Tom Graybill. He is the Vice President of Sales for Trimar Communications Incorporated in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. They are a media event production company. You can learn more about Tom's company at www.trimark.com. That's T-R-I-M-A-R-Q.
So my name is Tom Graybill. I'm the Vice President of Sales for Trimar Communications, which is a media and meeting production company. We are based in Milwaukee and the Chicago area, but we do a lot of work throughout the entire country as well as the world. We actually did a show in Cambodia earlier this year. Wow. We did three shows in Panama last year. We're actually doing a show right now in Austin, Texas.
That's in another world.
And it's right before South by Southwest. So right. They're like, all got to get out really quick. And I've been with the company, actually next week will be my 23rd anniversary.
Wow.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy to think
that is kind of crazy. So you started when you were 7?
Oh, God love you. Obviously, my camera's not working.
You're right, it isn't.
Oh, man.
Are you in Chicago because so many trade associations have their home base there?
Well, actually, we have our office in Chicago for a couple of reasons. One, because of there is a lot of business to be had there, and one of the partners actually lives in the Chicagoland area.
Got you.
So it helps us to service that area a lot. Surprisingly, Madison, Wisconsin is the second densest area of associations in the entire country.
Right. A lot of them moved out of Chicago because of the expense of doing it, and Madison's like a livable place.
Yes, very livable.
Yeah, the only problem is you have to fly to Milwaukee to get an airplane.
This is true.
So tell me a little bit about your history as a sales leader.
Well, I'll be perfectly frank. I kind of stumbled into the whole sales business because when I got out of school, I went into television news. And I worked at a television station in Miami and then worked at a television station in Milwaukee and decided to get, I wanted to get out of that. And so there was an opportunity to work for a video production company. And I still remember the job application for that. It was director of marketing. And it said in big letters, actually bigger letters than the description of the job, this is not a sales job. And pretty darn soon it turned into a sales job.
Oh, wow.
That's funny. Wait a second. Did it evolve into a sales job or did they realize you had the talent for it and asked you if you would get involved?
No, there was just simply an expectation that it was a sales job.
Ah.
They basically lied to me.
Would you have applied for it if it didn't say that?
I probably wouldn't have because I had done retail sales before, but I had never, really been, they don't teach sales. There was no Jeffrey Gittimer out there teaching sales back when I was in school.
Yeah. Where were you, Jeffrey?
I was in kindergarten. Yeah.
So I worked there for a couple of years and then I started at Trimark after that position got untenable. And, this has always been a sales job here at Trimark.
But at least you knew it.
Right, right. And I learned a lot. I never had any formal training in sales.
Mm-hmm.
And, even to this day, all the training I've gotten is, from reading like awesome books like The Little Red Book of Sales. Just that.
Yeah. Well, thank you for that.
Well, that's cool.
Word.
So how do you train your salespeople then?
Well, we have a very small staff. So there's myself and there's one other sales associate, and she's been with us for 17 years. So when she came on, I actually, it was, up to me to, kind of train her a bit on our business and such. And, she had already been kind of in sales, so she already knew how to sell. It was a question of, could you sell what we do?
Mm-hmm.
In the 23 years, we've had a couple of other salespeople who've come on board. And You know, they've come and they've had various successes and then they've left for various reasons. And it is something that both the other sales executive and myself, we always lament. We always want to find, well, where's the younger version of she and I that we can bring in? Because there are just certain skills that we've gained over the years that it's very hard to impart sometimes.
Yeah.
What are those skills that you're hoping are innate that you're looking for?
I think in our business, one of the biggest challenges is that the sales cycle is very long. What we sell in terms of video production and in terms of event production is sometimes things that people don't buy for years, or they're satisfied with where they are with their product and they're not looking to change necessarily. And so it is that challenge of understanding that you need to educate, you need to be trusted, you need to build a relationship with a client. They're not just going to, you know, sign on the dotted line on that first sales attempt. And so that patience is a very difficult thing sometimes for people to grasp.
Let me throw something at you that I'm going to challenge you on, and you don't have to be embarrassed to answer the question. Do you have a time-lapse photographer or a time-lapse video of setting up an event and making it come off and having everyone laugh and applaud at the end?
Yes.
And is that something that you give to other customers or potential customers?
It's something that we've woven into a video that we do share with customers about the services that we provide in the event business.
Cool. Because a lot of times people don't have their own dog food and or try to sell, you know, you're in the event business. You need to show me your events rather than tell me how good you are. And sometimes that will shorten the sales cycle. Not always, but sometimes.
Yeah, the event business to me is an awesome business because typically once we get a client, they become repeat clients. Yeah.
Especially if the AV goes off without a hitch.
Exactly. But even sometimes when the AV doesn't go off without a hitch, because I tell a lot of my clients that, you know, we're the people that you want to have at that back table when something goes wrong, because invariably it will. And sometimes the audience will never see it because of what we're able to do.
And do you set the stage and all of the background and the design and all the other stuff that goes with it?
Yes.
Wow, that's cool.
That's awesome.
Yeah, totally cool.
So when you went over to Trimark 23 years ago, did you come in as a sales rep or did you come in as a sales manager?
I was just an account executive.
Was there a boss? Did you have a boss at that time?
There was a more senior salesperson, but we were essentially on par. I mean, I would certainly defer to her out of, you know, respect for her seniority and service to the company already. But it was, you know, I was on the ascent of my career and she was on the descent of hers. So it actually worked pretty well.
And did you have a boss?
The bosses were the two owners of the company. Uh-huh. That's who I reported to.
So they guided you sort of?
They said, go out and sell.
Yeah. And hurry back with business. Yeah.
bring this stuff back. In fact, my first office at the, when I joined Trimark was actually a supply closet that they had converted into an office.
Wow. Sounds snazzy.
Yeah. It was very small. So I was very incentivized to go out on the road.
That's funny.
Oh man.
And so did you go to Chicago and Milwaukee?
Mostly in the Milwaukee area. I mean, I work mostly in Wisconsin. I do have a few clients in the Chicago area. And obviously over the years, I've grown my business to the point where I have, you know, I have clients in Atlanta and I have clients actually in the UK and in Dallas and other places like that. But for the most part, there's a lot of fertile ground here in Wisconsin to work on. And so that's where I have concentrated most of my efforts.
You know, you've been in the same industry for two decades. What have you seen change over the past two decades from the sales perspective?
I think that I've changed in the sense of you know, getting to that point where I understand that I don't work for money, that I work to, you know, serve my clients and serve their needs and help them reach their goals.
That's a tough realization. And I wonder how long it took you to realize that.
I would say that probably about 10 years in.
Yeah.
Into this.
Okay. Keep going. What else changed?
The knowledge of the clients changed, certainly in terms of the video business, because, you know, when I got into the business 23 years ago here, video was, you didn't have a smartphone to go and make video yourself.
Right.
There wasn't YouTube. Cameras, there right. wasn't, you know, websites were just really starting to, you know, be prevalent.
Mm-hmm.
And there wasn't a big push for, hey, let me put video onto a website. So that really changed things for me in terms of how I approach video and how I talk to people about the video business. The event business, very interestingly enough, the biggest changes have all been technology driven. People have, they've sung the dirge of the death of the live meeting for, decades now. And if anything, we're actually doing more business in meetings than ever before,
mm-hmm.
because there is that need, because so often we don't interact one-on-one with each other in our regular, day-to-day routines. So to be able to go somewhere and be face-to-face with your peers, your colleagues, your customers is something that's very appealing to a lot of people.
Do you find that your events are localized when they put on events, or do you go to Vegas or Orlando or someplace like that?
The vast majority, in fact, I'd say probably 80% of our event business is not in Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. It's, Austin, it's Nashville. I think that we actually did two shows in Nashville. I think we're on our third show in San Diego area. That's coming up in a couple of weeks. So the vast majority of it is not around here. Our clients are around here, but meeting season for the most part runs from approximately September to May. And with the exception of our KI client who has their events in Green Bay in February, most of the clients like to go somewhere else.
Yeah, because winter starts there around May 15th and ends around June the 3rd, right?
There's only two seasons in Wisconsin, winter and road construction.
Yeah.
Now you're evolving. Have you evolved technologically as well? Do you tweet? Do you, your whole audience is, there's a hashtag for this. There's a Twitter name for this. There's a, now Instagram is a big prevalent thing. I'm sure that you're encouraging your audiences to be technologically posting, correct?
Yeah, certainly the technology is creating that ability for the audience to interact, and we're seeing a lot more of that. There's a lot more of how can I have my audience interact with my speakers, interact with the company, et cetera, in a live event setting. So, creating a place for them to tweet and be heard or read, I should say, is certainly very prevalent. I've certainly, in terms of my sales function, I've completely embraced LinkedIn as a great tool to connect and grow my network of people, mm-hmm. and then actively use it to reach out to folks, on a regular daily basis in some cases. And I've seen really great results from doing that. Even just the, hey, congratulations on this. And to have that person then reach back to me, now it's like, okay, now we can start a conversation.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, it's easy to start with a compliment.
Yes.
You can't insult the guy from the very beginning. You have to wait a few weeks.
You have to wait a few minutes. Oh, weeks. So how do you guide and coach your two salespeople to stay in touch throughout the long sales cycle?
Well, it's the, the nice thing is that the other account executive, she's been with us for so long that she's grasped where that is. We had another salesperson who came in and she used to work for a newspaper in town. And so their sales cycle was, you called someone up and said, hey, I have to sell this, this ad space of this particular size or whatever else. And typically the answer was yes or no. And then you moved on. Mm-hmm. For us, you get a no and it just means, well, no for right now. it'll be yes at some later point.
Right.
So but even 2 years later, correct?
But it's not like next week. It's their next meeting, which may be a year out or 2 years out.
Exactly. If they have a contract, it might be 5 years out.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was a challenge for her to understand that, what that means is that you need to, constantly be filling your pipeline, constantly be sowing the seeds, because you don't know which one's going to sprout at a particular time. And it was a little challenging for her to, to grasp that. And it is that kind of thing where, again, you can talk patience, but it is hard sometimes to teach someone patience.
Right. Mm-hmm. Especially if you're from New York.
Yeah, I have no patience.
You can talk patience all you want, but no one has any.
I can explain to you how to have patience, but right. I don't have patience.
I can teach patience. I just have none.
Oh, man.
Try to teach patience to a little kid. That's about our patience level.
Yeah, exactly. Not good.
Oh, yeah. Well, the other thing, too, and this is something that I have two daughters, and one of the things that I've been able to teach my daughters is dealing with disappointment. How do you deal with disappointment? And of course, in the sales area, we're disappointed, 70 to 80% of the time, perhaps, and that's that, in my business, that might be even, someone who's very successful.
Wait a second. Every salesperson I know can do 9 out of 10 deals if they can get in front of the decision maker.
Oh, man.
Are this is you why telling I'm still me, learning.
Are you telling me that's bullshit? Come on.
What's your leadership mentality?
I am someone who I like to lead by example. I like to lead in an educational way. I like to lead with life lessons. I mean, in my role, in addition to doing sales, I'm also an account executive in the sense that it's my job to help shepherd a project, from beginning to end. And so sometimes that means dealing with some of the production people. And if there's a situation where something doesn't go quite right, it's not a matter of yelling and screaming. It's okay, now what can we learn from this? How can we make this better the next time? And growing them so that they can do that better job next time for my clients. I mean, I have to trust them to do a good job. Mm-hmm. So it is very much a, trying to apply a guiding hand where I can.
Yeah, but your situations are you can't be late for one of your events. You have a drop dead deadline where stuff has to be shipped, set up, and perform. You can't have somebody going, I couldn't get to it today.
That's
we got the
true.
Equipment there the day after the event.
Right, exactly. Everything showed up right on sort of time. We were only a day late. Oh, and we were a dollar short.
Well, and that's the thing too, where I mean I have had some situations where more on the video side where somebody has been late. And it's been that matter of, because I'm a little more hands-on, I'm there. I've actually got a production background, so I can get things going. But then afterwards, it is that conversation. It's that matter of, trying to correct immediately as much as possible versus, let me talk to you in a month and lay out, here's all the things that you've been doing wrong. It doesn't serve the client.
You mentioned you lead by life lessons and teach by life lessons, essentially. Are there certain ones that stick out that you make sure everyone, that you impart that knowledge to everyone you're leading?
Well, I think that, one of the big things is communication. I mean, we're in the communications business and sometimes we don't communicate nearly as well internally as we would like to. But, for our clients aren't here. Typically when we're doing work, they're somewhere else. And so they need to be comfortable. And I would rather over-communicate with them and provide more information to them. And it's really comes down to really thinking about how do I make that client comfortable knowing that we're taking care of what, we're doing for them.
If you're a sales leader and you just heard this segment and you're thinking, man, I really should get that Gittimer Learning Academy, stop. You need to get the Learning Academy for your entire team so they can get better. And you can track, measure, and monitor everybody on your team after they've taken the assessment and learn about how good they are and or where they need help. And you as their leader can now actually coach them to victory.
If you're a strong, smart, successful sales manager and you want to be featured in our Sales Manager Spotlight series on Seller Die, all you need to do is email sellerdie@gittimer.com. If you know someone or you have a favorite sales manager who's amazing and should be featured, nominate them at sellerdie@gittimer.com. Until next time, I'm Jen Gluckow.
And I'm Jeffrey Gittimer, reminding you to get out there and sell something, even if your ass falls off. Sell or Diehards, attention. If you love the show, make sure you have subscribed to the show.
And if you've subscribed, make sure you rate us on iTunes and give us a star on Overcast.
And if you've done all of that, tell a friend, tell both your friends about the best sales podcast on the planet.
And if you've done all of that, well, you're a true seller diehard, and we thank you.
Thank you.
Merci beaucoup.